There are days, and as a speaker, you get up here and you absolutely know that you have the leadership and anointing and power. Now, what you're about to say is positively, absolutely the divine expressed word of God. This is not one of those mornings. Spent a lot of time in prayer with the Lord this week, seeking God on what was to be shared here today. And our theme is we're dealing from the Pure Praise book, which has been wonderful. And we're dealing with the attributes or characteristics of God. And this one is dealing with the idea of God being a relational God. And so I had all of these great things prepared for you today, these funny little quips and wise little sayings. And this morning when I sat down to look over my notes, he said, nope, not that, nope, not that, nope, not that, nope, not that. And I'm going like, what? So I'm not exactly sure where we're going today, but I know that we're in God's plan and in his purpose. And I believe that what God wants me to share with you today, he wants me to experience. And that key word today really has to do with humility, humbleness before God. I want you to look at the title today. It's called This Amazing Life, and that's where the scripture is coming from, our basis, from Luke chapter 3, verses 20-23. You can check it up. It'll be up here, but it'll also be, if you want to use your own scripture, I encourage you to do so. There's a little question up there that I want you to think about as a backdrop, and that question is, what is the real meaning of success? And there are a lot of different people who have a lot of different ideas about what that is. Economically, emotionally, I guess politically, you can go down the line, and most importantly, spiritually. But I want you to think about that. What is the real meaning of success? And I want you to know that one thing I am sure about, and it just was, I'm up here while we're singing and praising, and I'm just going, wow. Because some of the words that are expressed, the songs that were sung are perfect. Kelly made a comment that it comes right out of a book we're studying from men, so I don't think she hasn't looked at that book, but it came right out of a quote from that book, which she said that God is as close to you now as he ever will be. Some of the words that Vicky shared, the Lord is going to do something with you today. And one of the things he might do today with you is he might ask you to do something that is contrary to what you've been thinking about. He may ask you to think about him in a way you have not yet considered. And he may ask you to do something that you don't really want to do. And the process of humility, of being humble, is sometimes giving up yourself, giving up your thoughts, giving up your way, giving up your idea to go God's way. And the question is, are you willing to do that? You're here today, unless you're a visitor, you're here today because you've decided to give your heart and life to God, to follow Jesus. The question is, how close do you want to do that? How close do you really want to get? Because this idea of God being a relational God, this is the idea about him having personal intimacy relationship with us. So let's look at Luke chapter 3, verses 21-23. And it reads, one day, a particular day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. I think it's probably warm enough now we can turn that thermostat down just a little bit. If somebody could do that, just turn that down just a little bit, because I don't know about you, but I'm cooking up here. What an amazing life God has given to us as Christians. We have put our lives into his capable hands, and when we do that, we gain insight, we gain purpose, we gain direction, we have challenge, we get fulfillment. I mean, we get a life that is amazing, but we also get the opportunity and the request to offer back to him in sacrifice our lives, our will, our purpose. Now, last week, Pastor Nick spoke about one of the characteristics of God, and that characteristic was that God is transcendent, that he is high and above, lifted up. He is creator of all things. He's almighty God. He's so amazing. He's so incredible that he looks at the universe and it's like a little dot to him. And God holds that transcendency. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. But in the process of having that transcendency, he also wanted to get close to us. He wanted to be able to express his love to us. And that, I believe, is what God wants to do for us today. He wants you to know him in a way you have not yet discovered. He wants to be personal with you in a way you haven't allowed him to be. This relational God said, I must find a way to reach these people because I'm high and lifted up and holy, and I've given them my word, but they're not getting it. And so the best way to do that is for me to send my son as one of them, to walk among them, to live among them, to eat among them, to be born in the normal process or the birth canal, to grow as a child, to become an adult, and to give his life eventually as a complete sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for us. That's the purpose of Jesus coming, yes? But the other purpose for Jesus coming, that great sacrifice, yes, but the other purpose was for us to find out who God is. And we couldn't do that unless it was in terms that we can understand. As a school teacher, in the early years of my teaching, it was easier. I was working with junior high kids. It was easier because they came in with a certain basic knowledge, and they got that knowledge from the experience they had with their parents. They would sit and have conversation with their parents. What's happened to that? When kids do sit down with their parents today, they're doing this. And as the years went by, I found that it was more and more difficult to start teaching information to them, at least on a core situation of American history, because they had no basis or foundation. They were losing touch with reality because they were losing touch with their parents, with their family, with their connections. So I had to go further and further back to create a foundation, because you can't build something if you haven't got a foundation. Well, the Lord gave us that foundation in his word, but he wanted to make sure we understood what it was, so we sent Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, walking with us, being with us. And Jesus humbled himself. He left the throne of heaven to become one of us. You know what that is? And today, Jesus is still having that glorified body of a person, of a man, sitting on the throne of God, because now we have a high priest who understands who we are, who makes intercession for us. He knows everything that you experience. He knows the heartbreak. He knows the exhilaration. He knows the times, the moments of discouragement. He knows what it is to be hungry, to go without food, literally. He knows what it is when you can't, when you're so down that you don't know how you're going to turn around. He's been through all of that. He knows the exhilaration of being on top. He's experienced every disappointment, every excitement, every temptation, every grief. He's experienced happiness, loneliness, exhilaration. He can identify with everything that we have gone through and are going to go through because he's been here with us, this relational God. This week, yesterday, day before yesterday, our neighbor called us and told me that she discovered that a woman that she works with, a nurse, her son was playing basketball. And in a freak accident, he fell and hit his head. Got a concussion, very bad. Had to be rushed to the hospital. Less than 2 hours later, he died. And that woman is a believer, a Christian. And my friend, Jennifer's friend, Linda, who was telling us this on the phone, says, I don't know what I would have said if I was there. And I'm thinking, what would I have said if I was there? How do you talk to someone about that? But here's what God did. God had a person who was not normally there, another worker, another nurse, there that day. And this nurse had lost a son as well, in a similar kind of a way. And that woman was able to comfort the other woman in a way that no one else could have done, because that woman identified exactly with what she had gone through. You with me here today? God has a way of reaching to us and making himself known to us in ways that we can't imagine. He is faithful through our pain, through our grief, and he leads us out of situations that seem to have no way out, have no comfort. He takes us out of it. Patrick Morley, the guy who has written this book called How God Makes Men, this book that we're studying, we're going through as a men's group, this book that Janet just asked to buy. I'm thinking how that it's really a book for everybody, but it's principally built for the men, but it's amazing the principles in it. But he writes, God is never more near than when he seems farthest away. And there are times when we are so down and so upset. This morning when I started going through the situation where, Lord, what about all these things? And suddenly they were all taken away. What are you doing? And yet God said to me, will you trust me anyway? It was almost hysterical. We were driving in here. I'm going, this is funny. Because I say, here, God is putting me in a situation that I have to trust him. So when Jesus came to us and stayed with us, he's talking about the idea of being a humble servant. I want you to think about what Jesus called himself. What title did Jesus refer to himself as? Son of what? Son of man. He didn't call himself Son of God. He referred to himself as Son of Man. That's a humble title. He is the Son of God. He is Almighty God. He is transcendent God. But here he is in flesh, acting in humility. When he goes that day to be baptized, he shouldn't have gone to be baptized. He doesn't need to be baptized. Baptism is a symbol of repentance. That's what John the Baptist was doing out there. It's a sign of humility. It's a sign of turning your life around. Jesus doesn't need to do that. But Jesus does it because he's acting in this way of being humble, modeling what we are supposed to do, how we are supposed to be. Humility is what God needs and requests from us. Humility opens a key to a door with God that can't be opened unless we have that broken spirit. I'm kind of critical of televangelists. I'm not going to mention any names today here. I'm going to be kind about this. And I'm not going to say that God doesn't use people no matter what. But when televangelists talk about the sugary side of the gospel and all the positive, wonderful things and the way God wants to bless us and how God is just waiting to give you all of these things and to make your life special and do all these wonderful things for you, well, you know, those things are true, but they're only giving you half the truth. They emphasize God's willingness to shower us with blessings and do all these wonderful things, but they don't tell you the other side of it. Does God want to prosper us? Yeah, God wants to prosper us. But God will never do it at the expense of our character, because God's after something greater than material things, than emotional gains. He's after something more. I want you to go back to the opening question. What is the real meaning of success? How would you define success? Comedian Fred Allen said, a celebrity is a person who works hard all his life to become well known. And then when that happens, they walk around with dark glasses to avoid being recognized. This strange conundrum. God wants to bring us success, but beyond material, emotional things, beyond the things we are so desperate to possess. In the songs this morning, it talked about us letting things go, us being willing to give God the things that we are holding on to so desperately. The backdrop of what's going on right now, these last few weeks, Ash Wednesday, last Sunday, this Sunday, and going on, the backdrop of this is called Lenten season, Lent. And the backdrop of that is the idea that we are looking for a way to remember what the Lord did for us. And in so doing, we want to give more of ourselves to him. Lent talks about sacrifice. And the idea of sacrifice is the idea about putting down your will, humbling yourself, and letting go of something that is really important to you. Now, Pastor Jerry mentioned today about one of the things that we're suggesting that you could go along with here, the idea of not spending money. But each week there'll be something suggested, a suggestion that you could work with. But every one of them will require something. Every one will require personal sacrifice. Why is that necessary? Because if you want something from God, He wants you to approach Him with the right spirit and with the right attitude. Because unless we have that spirit of humbleness, of that contrite spirit, He can only do so much with us. In the song this morning, we sang, "Empty me." So what? So I have a place to be filled up again. If you're already filled, how can God put something in there? If you empty yourself out in this way of sacrifice, God is a way of taking you and filling you with something more, something greater, something that only He has. What is success? Matthew chapter 5 has those wonderful attitudes. Billy Graham calls them, they're called the Beatitudes. Do you ever think about what those actually mean? The old King James said, "Blessed are they." But when you read it in the newer version, like the New Living Translation, it says, "God blesses." The televangelist says, "God wants to bless you." Yes, He does. But look at how God wants to bless you. Here they are. Take a look at this. Matthew 5. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. And He's not necessarily talking about poor in finances or in possessions, but poor in here, poor in spirit, humility. "For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted, doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs, it belongs to them." Wow, what a different way of looking at the blessings that God wants to give to us. Some of those things you say, "Well, I'm not sure if I want those blessings." But when God begins to speak to our heart and turns us around and our focus changes and we realize, wow, the things that I'm so desperately clutching to, really how important are they? How long can I hold them? And where are they going to take me? And are they going to bring me up or are they going to take me down? This week, in fact, it was Friday, a Pulitzer Prize winner died. She only wrote one book. But that book, according to a news broadcast from Fox News this week, that book is the second most influential book ever written in our nation. It has influenced and changed more lives in more people for good than any other book except one, and the other book is the Bible. Harper Lee wrote a book called To Kill a Mockingbird. There was a second book that came out recently, but now that they realize, looking at it, it really wasn't a second book. It was a draft of the first book. But that one book brought such success to that woman, and not in a way that most people think of success, but in a way that it changed lives. My wife is one of the people that was so blessed and meant so much to her, but virtually every person I've known, as far as English teachers who've read that book and have required reading for a while, have been blessed by the reading of that book. Success, because it has been used to affect the lives of other people in positive ways. I want you to look back at Luke chapter 3 with me again for a moment. It'll be back up there again. I want to read this again, and I want you to think about what went on here that day. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus Himself was baptized. Remember that Jesus does not need to be baptized. But He goes down to the stream, to the Jordan, to meet with John. And as He was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on Him like a dove. And a voice, which everyone heard, a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." And Jesus was about 30 years old when He began His public ministry. So we have a lot going on right here. Jesus is about to begin His public ministry. He's 30 years old. There's timing involved with this. And He goes to the Jordan River. And I never noticed it before, but Jennifer pointed it out to me. And she said, did you see where it says that Jesus prayed while he was praying? I never saw it before. But here is Jesus waiting to be baptized by John. And if we were to look at some of the other Gospels, you can see that John is like blown away by this. When John realizes who's there, that's Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, the Son of God, he's like, what's going on here? I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus tells him, no, you've got to do this. And in a sense, it was a humbling situation for John, because John carried through with that. And Jesus is there waiting in line with everyone else. He doesn't take special opportunity here because I'm John's cousin, because I'm the Son of God, because I don't really need to be here in the first place. So let me move to the front of the line. He's waiting in line just like everybody else. He has humbled himself just like everybody else. And at the moment that he goes up there and he's praying and he's baptized, the Holy Spirit, get this now, the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, lights on him, in bodily form, it says, visually, so everyone could see it, like a dove landing on him. And then the heavens open and his voice of God. Now, I don't know if anybody ever heard this before. I know I've never heard this voice. But the voice of God speaking to them and saying what? This is my Son who gives me great joy. I mean, that is the ultimate idea of success to me. That you could put a smile on your Heavenly Father's face. That God will say about you, my son, my daughter, you bring me great joy. And I am so pleased with you. And then right after that, and we don't have it right here, but right after that, what happens next? It says that Jesus is now driven by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, away from that wonderful scene, because he's about to begin his earthly ministry now, his 3 years of ministry, his relational ministry to us. He's driven by the Spirit out into the desert, where he'll be there for 40 days, fasting, praying, and dealing with the worst temptation anybody's ever dealt with the devil. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to be spending time with God in prayer and in fasting. And to be able to do this, we are giving you, we are trying to give you an opportunity, and I don't want to use the word corporately because this is not a corporate thing. We're looking at this as a corporate thing as far as the church goes, but we're looking at this really, it's got to be looked at as an individual thing. If you look at the suggestion this week about not spending money, and not spending money is not your problem, then that's not a fast you need to go on. If you are a tight skinflint and you don't spend any money, then this is not a fast for you. If you're thinking about fasting food and you're a skinny rail and you don't eat food, that is not a fast for you. So, this is a very personal situation we're talking about here. And we're giving you a reminder in this situation, in this time of Lent, that if God begins to speak to you, and I believe today before we leave, he will. God speaks to you about something in your life that he wants you to temporarily put aside. And here's the real hard thing. Will you commit to that? It could be that there's only one thing that God wants you to consider. Maybe he doesn't want you to change things from week to week. It could be that God has one thing for you that he wants to start with you. He wants to talk to you about this today. I want you to take this into consideration today, my son, my daughter. I want you to put this aside today. But next week, I want you to add this piece to this piece. Or it could be that God doesn't want you to give up anything. It could be that God wants you to begin to do something. I want you to start doing, I want you to trust me in doing this. Everybody look me in the eye here for a second. Everybody right here. If you will commit to God, if you will listen to the voice of God today, this will not just be about you. This has never been just about us. This has been about what God wants to do in us. The true meaning of success is not what you accomplish in life. It's what God directs your life as far as making a difference for the time, the place, and the people that are around you. You want a legacy? It's not going to be about the legacy of just about you. It's about what you've accomplished. You want people to care about you or love you and look at you a certain way? It's because what you've accomplished for others. Jesus didn't come here to be the ruler. He came here to be the suffering servant. That's what humility is. God, Jesus talking to his disciples said, if you want to be the best or the greatest among us, be the servant of all. And so whatever God speaks to you about here, it will be personal in nature. It will require you to give sacrifice. But it will be something he will accomplish great things through because of you, for possibly this church, possibly your family, possibly this nation. Who knows what God will begin to accomplish if you will listen to him. Today I want you to ask yourself these questions. What is it you want me to give you, Lord? What is it I'm holding back from you? And ask yourself the question, what is more important to me than doing what God asks me to do? Because if you will commit today, before you leave, we're going to take a moment and just have prayer, because I think before you leave today, God's going to put something on your heart. But if you will commit to listen to God's voice, if you will commit, Lord, I will carry through with this. And it won't be easy because you'll be tempted to let it go as soon as you walk out of here. But if you'll commit to this, great things are going to happen. I want you to think about this. I want you to have a journal ready this week. Get some paper together and start writing things down. In fact, before you leave today, there are notes available in your bulletin. It's a place you can write things down. Before you leave today, we're going to take a moment of prayer. I'm going to ask you to listen to God's voice. And if you listen to that voice, God is going to direct you in some way. I want you to write it down. It's important you write it down, because when you leave here, you're going to be challenged that God didn't really say that. And then once you write that down, I want you to continue. Get some more paper, because during the week as you pray, and you've got to have prayer with this, set a time aside this week. It's got to be every day. It can't be Monday and on Wednesday. It's got to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's got to be every day. Set that time aside whenever it can be, morning, evening, when it can be. Fasting. If it's food for you, do the food. If it's electronics for you, electronics for you. Whatever God directs you with, that's something personal that no one else knows about. Commit that thing to the Lord, because he wants you to empty out yourself so he can fill you in a way you have never been filled before. And your prayers are going to be answered in a way that are going to be kind of fantastic. You need to journal this. You need to journal what you're asking God for. And you need to journal what you're doing, and journal what God is doing. Are you with me here? Raise your right hand. Your right hand. Sorry to be so intense here. Let's think about this verse. James 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let's take a moment right now. Would you bow your heads with me? I want you just to, I know this is hard because we're always on the go, and right now your minds are going a different direction, but right now, just ask the Lord to quiet your heart, to quiet your mind. If you haven't got a pen, reach for pencil in the pew there. Get that paper out, and just for a moment, don't write anything yet, just for a moment, listen. Just wait upon the Lord. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord, right, shall renew their strength. Wait upon the Lord. And as he begins to speak to you, then write down what God is asking you to do, what he's directing you to do. Take a moment right now. Just be quiet before the Lord. Let me be quiet too. I know a couple of people here are struggling right now. You don't want to do it. But by you committing to what God asks you to do, you're saying to Him, you are more important to me than everything else. There's nothing more important. There's nothing I hold higher above you. I let go of whatever you ask me to let go of. I know that's a struggle. Believe me, I know. I know. I know what I've struggled with this week myself to let go of. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you begin a new work this morning in the lives of these your people. That you bless this church in a way that is so new and fresh that we will be just amazed at what you're doing. That you would accomplish this, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, we understand as we leave this place today that we're not doing this on our own strength. We are committing our hearts to you, but we are asking the Holy Spirit to empower us as we pray, as we commit this fast to you, that you would accomplish your plan and your purpose in our lives, that we would become the person that you have designed us to be, that we would gain the success that has been waiting for us, that we have not been able to reach. But now, Lord, we put these things aside and we ask you, Lord, to begin a great, great work in us. And let this work, Lord, be a blessing to all the people who are around us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. May the Lord bless you. Remember, we are going to ask you to remember we have the annual meeting today. And also choir members need to meet with you just for a moment. May the Lord bless you. Have a great week in Him.